Today on Real Radio.
If we would just look at what God is speaking to us with an open heart and a mind that is honestly simple, then the existence of God makes sense. The things of God makes perfect sense.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're in a lesson taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. We'll also look at other passages, of course, but this one verse in Matthew 13 serves as our primary text today. It's about the parable of the leaven. Now, leaven is a term we don't often see in Western culture these days, yet it's mentioned several times throughout Scripture. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes symbolic. And the question is, how did Jesus use the term in this context? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Leaven.
What does leaven mean? We would say, though it's not exactly the same, we would say in our culture today, we don't talk about the word leaven. It's a Middle Eastern concept and understanding. And for that matter, it's a Genesis, book of Genesis announcement by God to us about what leaven is and what it stands for. We would say today yeast. What yeast does to a loaf of bread or to dough, leaven does the same. But the Bible's very clear about this. The parable of the leaven. What is Jesus going to teach us about regarding it? As you're there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, look with me just back at the beginning of that chapter. In Matthew 13, 1, the Bible there says, "And on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." Then verse 3 says, "He spoke to them many things in parables," the parabolic teaching of Jesus. In our introduction of this series, we talked about how it's Jesus speaking, using parables, and what it does is bring the truth of God in what we said as technicolor revelation, technicolor truth. There's no way that you can hear a parable, now listen, and as it's given, it is so profound that the way God engineered a parable, you either get it or you don't get it. And when a parable goes out, it unlocks, as it were, the ears of the hearer in one way. In other words, those who want to hear from God, listen, this could be you tonight. If you want to hear from God, guess what? You are going to hear from God. And if you don't want to hear from God, this is what the other aspect of a parable does. If you don't want to hear, the same truth that unlocks the mind of the person that's willing, that same truth slams the door on the heart that doesn't want to know. A parable is like a catalyst that digs deep into the thinking and the kaleidoscope of your mind in a pictorial way, and it either causes great blackness and shuts you down, or it causes greater light to take place. It's absolutely awesome. It's profound. And Jesus used parables. And so tonight we look at Matthew 13, 33, the parable of the leaven. Look at it with me there. It says, "Another parable he," Jesus, "spoke to them, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven." And every Jew, in the hearing of what Jesus is saying now, their ears are up, and they're wondering, what on earth is this going to tell us? And you'll know why in a moment. "Which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." Note takers, mark down Luke 13, 20. This parable is echoed in Luke's gospel, chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Again, he, Jesus, spoke to them and said, "What shall I like in the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was leavened." The growth of this leaven in the measure of the meal. The meal being not bacon and eggs and all this other stuff. The meal being the, we'll say, loaf or the dough that's present. Jesus is teaching about something very profound here, but let's take some time to get into some background here. If you think about it, church, listen carefully. Why would Jesus use this kind of teaching? It's pretty awesome. If you'll think about it, God has given us, as I've mentioned in times past in other teachings, God has given us, I believe, in a sense, two Bibles. Now hear me out. Two Bibles this way. There is no doubt in my mind that it is obviously the Word of God, this Bible that I'm holding. God has given us the Bible. Absolute truth. But it's interesting that in the Bible speaks about those who, in this world, who may not have access to the Bible, are by no means excused from the truth of the Bible. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's always that person that will say, what about the guy that's in Africa or the guy that's in South America who's never heard the Bible? Everybody, isn't it interesting? So many people are so concerned about the guy that's never heard the Bible, and yet the guy that's arguing with you about why they don't need Jesus, they're hearing the Bible, and all of a sudden they're so compassionate about the guy in South America that's never heard about the Bible. That's ridiculous. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that the guy down in South America who's never heard or seen a Bible, that God is speaking to that person by his creation in which the guy lives in, so that he is so without excuse before God regarding God's attributes even. Isn't it amazing? That somehow the guy walking around in the jungles of South America, God is revealing himself to the psyche of that man in his mind and heart that I'm God. Now, how does God do that? I don't know. That's God's business. The Bible says God reaches the guy running around half naked with a bone in his nose and a spear in his hand, that guy is having to choose or reject the revelation of God. Listen, God has given us the Bible, which, by the way, think of this. What was the first book to roll off the printing press? Bible. What was the first book to go electronic? Bible. What was the first book to outsell all books every year ever since it was published? Bible. It's interesting. What book is preached on and what book is announced and what book is broadcast by radio, by TV? No other writings of any other religious founders in the world and world history but the Bible. Think of it. I remember many years ago, I don't remember what year it was, maybe you do, but I remember one time Billy Graham was preaching and they were using all this satellite stuff and they did a world outreach and Billy Graham was preaching the gospel to 2.5 billion people in one service. That's awesome. Never before happened. And what did he do? He preached the Bible from the Bible, God's word. But the other Bible that I'm talking about is that revelation of creation that God has given, meaning this. Honestly, think for a moment, because you and I, humanity, we've been polluted by and we've been manipulated by spin, manipulation, bias of an unbelieving world. If you look at the mountains, the clouds, animals, your skin, your life, the world, the heavens. Doesn't the Bible say that the heavens declare the glory of God? The Bible says there's no place where you can go to escape the witness of the stars that are in the sky. A normal person could walk outside, never read in a Bible, and say, wow, what's up with this? This is amazing. Who did this? A normal person would say, there's got to be a God, and I need to find out who he is. Jesus takes parabolic teaching and uses everyday natural common things to communicate the reality of the spiritual world. You can watch a butterfly before it's ever a butterfly. What's that thing doing? It's crawling around your yard with all these legs and all these feet. It's a caterpillar. And it goes up the side of your house and hangs out there until springtime. And then it flies away. And the Greeks called that metamorphosis. Something, this is amazing, are you ready for this? Something that is earthbound goes up the side of your house and turns itself into basically the consistency of snot. It goes from a caterpillar to like snot. And then when all that has its chemical work it winds up breaking out of that chrysalis, and it brings out its wings, and it dries its wings, and all of its glory, it flies away. And it's the same thing that was walking on the ground. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, like, man, this is living, man. No more earthbound. And you look at that, and you could see pictures of resurrection. You put a seed into the ground at this time of the year. You put a bulb in the ground, and it dies, and then out of its death comes forth a shoot and a brand new flower and a plant. And it's a beautiful thing. How does that happen? It was living, it died, and it's alive again. If we would just look at what God is speaking to us with an open heart and a mind that is honestly simple, then the existence of God makes sense. The things of God makes perfect sense. And when Jesus taught, he taught using natural things to relate to us. And it is an awesome thing to realize. Now, as we get into this teaching on leaven, mark this down, because you can look at various scholars based upon how they were instructed or brought up, and they'll argue about this thing called leaven. But let's let the Bible interpret the Bible. So in your note-taking, write down what is leaven, for example, in the scriptures. Well, Exodus 12:15 says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. By the way, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. During the whole rest of the other time, you eat leavened bread. But there's a celebration before the Lord. What is this? Passover. 7 days you will eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your house. Why would you take leaven out of your house? What's that all symbolic for? And during that time, you're eating unleavened bread. What's God saying to us? For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. This is in Egypt. When they're coming out of Egypt, God says, this is the deal. Leaven is a picture of uncleanness or sin. Get it out of your house and throw it out. Because why? Because for the next 7 days, we are sanctifying ourselves to God. The nation of Israel would do this. They do it to this day. And you will eat unleavened bread. Why? What is that? It's a sense of purification. But why would the Bible, in an act of purification and devotion to God, why didn't the Bible pick on avocados? Why didn't the Bible pick on tomatoes? There's a lot of other stuff. Because of the properties of leaven. A little speck of leaven expands. It actually ferments. It turns into a toxin, or it turns into something that is rotting, and it grows, or it infiltrates the rest of the dough. Yes, it smells fantastic. We love the smell of it. You like the smell of a bakery, don't you? Oh, fantastic. Oh, boy. It's when, oh, boy. Well, listen, I understand that. But God says, okay, you know what? The characteristics of is that it starts out so small and it grows so much. And the act of it is that it rots whatever it comes in contact with. So I know we love it and we love the way it tastes, but God says it rots things. Now, don't get all upset like, oh, we'll never eat leavened bread again. No, there's times in Scripture when God commands his people to eat leavened bread. There's a reason for it. It's pretty interesting. You can study that later on your own. Exodus 34:25 says, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Isn't it interesting? This is a side note. God says to the nation of Israel, when you offered the sacrifice with blood, make sure there's no leaven in the whole offering. Jesus was the bread of life. And the scripture makes it very clear that he is our Passover and that he was unleavened. Isn't that cool? And he was also the sacrifice of blood. And God said from Exodus, don't mix leaven with the sacrifice of blood. And Jesus is the perfect word of God. God come down to earth to die on the cross for us. And Jesus of himself said, I am the bread of life. Every Jew that heard Jesus say that went, wow. He's meaning that he's not leavened bread. Matthew 16:6 and 12. Matthew 16:6 and 12. Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean the priests were out there selling bread? No, verse 12 says, Matthew 16, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Why? Because it was corrupt. So church, as we look at this parable of the leavened bread, mark this down. Number one, we're looking at the technicolor truth in parables, the leaven. Number one is dangers over time. He's warning us about dangers over a protracted period of time. He says another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. The concept of leaven is this, that something is corrupt in the mix. The kingdom of heaven. Now, those of you who have been coming to this study, you know that Jesus has been challenging us and warning us. Remember, the sower goes out to sow seed. And in the midst of all the wonderful acts of spreading out the seed, Jesus said, is the word of God, there are those whose hearts will not receive it. In the positive, there's a negative, okay, in the parable. And then we talked about last week the mustard seed, that it's a good start, but it grows into such a great tree, which is tremendous, but the birds of the air lodge in its branches. With the positive, there's the negative. And this is how parables work. And so now Jesus is telling us the kingdom of heaven, which you guys know now is the kingdom of heaven, is synonymous with the kingdom of God, the church age. The last 2,000 years is like this, Jesus said. There's going to be leaven. So we begin to process this. Pretty exciting. Jesus warns us and challenges us that I'm talking about the long haul of the doctrine of God in the world. In Matthew 24, mark this down. This is exactly what he's talking about. Matthew 24, 12, Jesus said, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Think of that. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. I just mentioned Billy Graham preached 2.5 billion people. What did that mean? Was that of any biblical significance? Of course it was. But not everybody was reached, were they? Jesus said, as we approach the end, there's going to be heartless people, as cold as ice, unloving. Oh, and by the way, one of the other signs will be the word of God will be preached all around the world. It's too bad, huh, that the word of God being preached all around the world doesn't cause everybody to be loving. Wouldn't that be nice? And Jesus is telling us that not only is the word of God preached, now look, I don't want to start a riot here tonight, but understand this. Are we supposed to preach the gospel to every creature? Yes. Are we not supposed to go out to all the world and preach the word of God? Yes. Are we not supposed to have missionary ventures? Yes. But clearly, we will not reach all people on earth. How do you know? Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation in two places that there's going to come a time during the tribulation period that because of the gospel, though it is, listen, it is going out tremendously during the tribulation period. John says there's going to be so many people saved, you can't count them all. But there's still something wrong. What is it? Before the end can happen, which is the reference here, Book of Revelation answers Matthew 24, before the end of the world can take place, or I should say the end of the age as we know it, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period yet to come, something has to take place. The gospel has to be preached in all of the world, and then the end comes. Do we have any record of that in the Bible? Yes. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, God will dispatch his angels, and they will fly through the midst of the atmosphere. This is going to be awesome. And they proclaim the everlasting gospel to all the inhabitants of the earth, and then the end comes. Wouldn't it have been amazing if last week that meteor going across over Russia would have said, hey, everybody, Jesus Christ is Lord, died on the cross, rose again from the grave. He's Savior of the world. Can you imagine if that out of that fireball, this voice came out? Can you? Oh, man. Well, there's going to be a day when a couple of angels, the Bible says, is going to fly through the atmosphere, not space, atmosphere. What's it going to look like? I don't know. I'll be watching from up there, watching them below us do the job, according to Revelation 19. So the end, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. That's an awesome thing. But listen to this. We're talking about a time, and we're talking about a time now, when Jesus says, from the birth of the church to the end of the church age, where the church is raptured up into heaven, that's what culminates. The church was born when the Spirit came down, and the church will graduate when it goes up in the rapture, whenever that comes. If it's next week or 100 years from now, that's when the church graduates. We don't know when that's going to be. But all along the way, the Bible warns us, Jesus tells us, that one of the characteristics of the work of the church in the earth is that it's going to be tainted by things from both outside and inside seeking to destroy the church. I got news for you. This is not very encouraging, what I'm going to say. But church is going to suffer greater attacks. Church is going to be brought under tremendous persecution at some point in time, increasingly so. According to the Bible, there is going to be a false church arise. It's going to look great, but it's going to be off on doctrine. It's going to be askew on doctrine. And the true church, according to the Bible, unless the Lord comes back, remember what Jesus said? Unless I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Wouldn't it be amazing if it all was reversed? Nah, it's not going to work that way. You and I do not, listen, church, you and I do not want, and nor do we believe, that we can be such great Christians that we can take the place of this parable and we're the leaven. And we are so good and we grow so much and the church gets so big that we wind up filling up the whole world and making it one big Christian happy world. But listen, there are some guys, I'm not going to name their names, but they're big time right now. They believe what I just said. They believe, they're famous people, you know them, they're household names. They believe that we're going to grow so big, the Christian church, which I think is absolutely insane to think. The church is going to get bigger and things are going to get better and we're going to create a kingdom on earth. We're going to make it all so good that Jesus has to come back, because we make it so good, we are going to permeate the earth, and they use this parable for their actions.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a lesson called The Parable of the Leaven, a look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, and, of course, some other passages that mention the term leaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that this broadcast outreach, known as Real Radio, is just one part of the ministry. We have television programs, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts, if you like. And it all sounds like a lot, but that's just because our goal is to equip you with the tools that you need to present and defend the gospel. And all of our outreaches can be yours and at your fingertips with the free app for your smartphone or tablet called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, by the way, happens to be the name of one of our television programs as well. We think you'll like that when you check it out. Now, all you have to do is go to your app store and download it for free. It's a one-stop shop that enables you to access real-life devotionals by Pastor Jack, which you can get via email, our Real Radio podcasts, topical lessons from Scripture. You'll get verse-by-verse studies and, of course, our Monday night TV program that happens to bear the same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.